Okay. We want to welcome all the listeners to the May 7th meeting of the Pacifica Programming Committee. My name is Jim Dingman. I'm the secretary of the committee. The chair of the committee, Catherine Davis, is not here right now, and we're reorganizing and convening a new Pacifica Programming Committee. I want to thank everybody for coming on, and I'm going to read the roll call of the people who are here right now so we can get the show on the road. And when I read your name, if you could just introduce yourself and explain where you're from and all that. Cliff Smith.
Cliff Smith, WPFW.
Wally James. Wally James?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, Wally James, KPFT.
Mansoor Sabah.
Mansoor from KPFK.
Donald Goldmacher.
I am from KPFA and director from the PNB.
Carol Wolfley.
Carol Wolfley from KPFA.
Tom Voorhees.
KPFA and also the PNB.
James Sagerton. Jim, are you there? Jim, I know you're out there on mute. Okay. Shira Dedman?
Hi, Shira Dedman from KPFA.
All right. And we also have Grace Aaron.
Yes, Grace Aaron. I'm the chair of the national board, and I'm from KPFK.
And we have Maxie Jackson here with us tonight.
Present. Executive director of the Pacific Foundation.
All right, now I'm going to have to ask somebody to be the timekeeper. Can someone volunteer to do that? Going once, going twice?
What does that entail? And I should warn you that I will hop on a BART at one point, so I apologize if I get dropped. This is Shira.
All right, basically you're keeping verbal order.
Like, you mean in terms of people speaking over each other or something like that?
People speaking in the length of the amount of time they speak.
Okay.
2 minutes per person.
Okay, I can try, and I apologize if I fall off. Maybe somebody else can hop on.
I can do it if Shira falls off. It's Carol.
Jim. Jim Mansoor is here. Mansoor is here, Jim.
Mansoor is here. Okay. We also need somebody to take the minutes of the meeting tonight. And all that really is, in terms of Robert's rules, is for passing resolutions, et cetera. I'll try to do as much as I can, but I just need somebody to work with me on that. Would someone volunteer for that?
Jim, point of order?
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, everybody speaks for 90 seconds, not 2 minutes. That's the call.
Thank you. Thank you, Mansoor. Mansoor corrected me, 90 seconds. Will anybody volunteer to be the secretary tonight? Going once.
I'll help you, Jim.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Okay. All right. Now, I sent out the agenda, we had here various things, written report to the PNB from Programming Committee, report from Executive Director, motions to bring on the floor, and the meeting ends time certain at 11 o'clock. Does anybody have any additions or changes to the agenda they'd like to make?
Carol Wolfley, KPFA.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to put, as the first item of the agenda, community advisory boards.
Okay. And if I recall in committees, we don't need a second. Is that correct? Grace?
You don't need a second.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any comments on that? Any objections to that? Okay. So we do that. Yes, sir. Anybody? Hello?
Mansoor would like to make a comment, if it's okay.
Go on.
Okay, so CAP is part of the governance, and we are dealing with programming, so I would plead with everybody to stay focused on the agenda, and then we deal with CAPS. Might be briefly, maybe 5-10 minutes, but after that, we just get back to the agenda. Thank you.
Does anybody have a comment to that?
I'm okay with saying 10 minutes maximum and putting it first, and it is tied to programming.
Any more comments on that, Mansoor? Anybody else? All right, is there any objections to this being the first part of what we talk about? All right, seeing none, that will be the first thing we talk about. Anybody else have any motions that they want to make? Okay. Well, since it's your motion, Carol, let's start. Why don't you lead off by talking about the Community Advisory Board issue?
Yeah, so the Community Advisory Boards do evaluate programming, policies, and public service. So programming evaluation is part of their role. And as was mentioned, this is an urgent issue in terms of our possibility to try and get Corporation for Public Broadcasting money, which would be a major resource for us to improve programming. So one of the things that I think that there are some great ideas about having really expanded CABS, and I really appreciated, you know, some of the ideas that Maxi has put forth about having representation from different geographical areas as well as skill areas and interest groups and diversity. And so I think one of the things what I'm thinking is we need a kind of a two-stage process. One is, stage one is to get things documented so that our compliance officer, Otis, is able to represent us in a way that is really going to help us get money and as soon as, you know, with the possibility that we may be able to submit this application in June. So that's coming right up, and I believe it's urgent for each station to have an operating CAB that is looking at, you know, among other things, programming. And I think down the line, we want to look at how, you know, how we deal with programming that has been removed from the air, which tends to kind of blow up into a whole thing, and how that relates to issues of confidentiality and lawsuits. So these are some of the issues that I'm thinking about, but I'd like to start off, and my request would be if each person, as we get to know each other, would be willing to say a little bit about what you know about the Community Advisory Board at your station and what you need to be in compliance and who we can have to help us get in compliance as soon as possible. So, thanks.
Nancy here. Nancy Sorden here. Sorry, I'm late.
Okay.
Who was that just speaking? I'm sorry, I didn't.
Carol Wolfley, KPFA.
Thank you.
Well, does anybody want to join in and talk about what's going on in their particular signal area?
This is Grace. Yeah. I can update KPFK.
Okay, sure.
But I'd like to ask if John Suarez is on the call from KPFK. John, are you on?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. One of our new local station board members, John Suarez, was the chair of the CAB of our public broadcasting station in L.A. So I thought he could give a little. Anyway, KPFK has a CAB meeting scheduled for Saturday. We have all the materials pulled together, and it's our aim to start off with members from the past and the present who are diverse. You know, when you're making a salad, a fruit salad, you don't want to have all apples. You want to have some pears, strawberries, grapes,
melon, et cetera. So in order to do a proper community needs assessment, there should be representatives from different communities on the community advisory board. So that's what we're working on, having our community advisory board members be as diverse as possible. And, of course, to have full compliance, which, as I mentioned earlier, we really need. The meetings need to be noticed properly. They need to have rosters of everyone who attends the meeting, including a short bio, like two sentences or something, and minutes kept for the meetings. And those have to be available for inspection by the CPB. And I believe it's Pacifica policy. I don't have the policy to hand, but I believe it's Pacifica policy that the CAB should be meeting four times a year. So let's try to comply with that if possible. I think the CPB, Otis says that they have to meet regularly. I heard somewhere else that they have to meet a minimum of twice a year. So we'll have to figure that out. But I would hope that we all go for quarterly meetings at a minimum.
Is anybody else want
sorry, to? I just, yeah. This is Shira. I just want to chime in right quick. As I'm counting time, do I do that every time somebody speaks, or is there a specific time?
Yeah, just get count every time somebody speaks.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Keep track of how we're doing on this particular item. Go on.
May I chime in into this?
Yes.
So, Cheryl, the way you do it, you do time everybody. After 1 minute, you tell them 30 seconds, and then 15 seconds, and then time, and that's it. And then that's when the chair would take over to bring it to a close.
That's what we do it at the PNB.
Mansoor, just to let you know, we've been a little more relaxed about that on this committee, but I hear you. We just don't want to have everybody go on and on forever. But, yeah, we'll be a little more relaxed about it, Sarah. Does anybody else have something to say about this from another board?
Cliff from PFW.
Yes, sir.
Is somebody on the PMB the answer person, in other words, the person you go to for information about what's going on in the CAVs of each station? And should we have a contact person to contact that person?
Carol?
Grace.
Mansoor?
Yeah.
Can
go
I
ahead, Grace.
I'm perfectly willing as the chair of the PNB to, I don't want to say my email address on a public stream, but you can probably find my email address fairly reasonably. My name is Grace Aaron, and I'm the chair of the PNB. You can send me questions, or Otis McClay is our CAB compliance officer, CPB compliance officer. Otis, can you field questions, CAB questions? Are you on, listening? Whatever, let's assume that...
This is Carol for the STAC. I'm also happy to do that. If anybody wants to contact me, I helped organize the CAB at KPFA and have a lot of literature and materials that can be used for nominating people and the process. And I can be reached through the KPFA local station board if you have questions or anyway, I'm sure you can find me somewhere.
And this is Grace. I would suggest you contact Carol first because she's really been spearheading this and has actually the most information. And if we can kind of assign her the task, if you're willing to do it.
I'm happy to do that. It's really important, especially want to help WPFW, and that, you know, I think it's great that we have two people on the call from there.
What's your last name, Carol?
Wolfley, W-O-L-F-L-E-Y.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
Otis, will you be sending out a list of people for the committee so we'll have each other's emails?
Otis needs to get that list. We'll have to compile that.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else want to talk about their particular station? We've heard PFW, KPFA to some extent, KPFK. What about KPFT? Wally?
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm probably not the best person to be talking about the CAB locally right now. I haven't been involved with it, but I will find out more by the next meeting.
Okay. Maxie, do you have anything to add right now on this?
No, I mean, first of all, I want to thank Carol for the complimentary remarks she made at the very beginning. The one thing I will just say is that, I think Grace very wisely is suggesting that we focus on establishing the CABs to be compliant. What I articulated is a bit more of a muscular version, if you will, of community advisory boards. It's a little bit more intensive in terms of the constitution. But I do think it is something that all stations should seriously consider moving forward. And I think there are ways to take what we currently have as the starting point for compliance sake and then build out from there towards the more ambitious goal that I provided in terms of the slotted community advisory board and my work with Jan Goodman. So I'm going to give Carol myself a call after, probably tomorrow or Friday, to see what she's been doing, since she's considered quite astute on this subject matter, so that maybe she and I can articulate something, sort of a quick study on how stations can ramp up their CABs, not so much, again, in terms of being compliant in the immediate, but more long-term. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. Anybody else on this issue?
Yeah. This is James from WBAI.
Yes.
James from WBAI. I was on the CAB for many years at WBAI, not many, but several years. We've had an active CAB, sort of an ad hoc CAB going on now for about 5 years after many years where it was pretty much collapsed. And one concern that I have for the future is that some of these people that have been serving on this, I'll grant, sort of ad hoc CAB, which has not probably met all of the requirements, is a concern for the people that have been doing it, you know, coming to meetings for 5 years on a regular basis. They're not doctors, they're not lawyers, they're not professional fundraisers, they're not radio professionals, but they listen intently to our radio station, and they've put themselves out for all these years hoping that they could help bring back the CPB money. So I'm hoping that somehow we can involve as many of them as possible in whatever new CAB comes about. Of course, everyone that was doing it with the idea that we need to get that CPB money. It's our, in some ways, it was our lifeblood, and we need to restore that. So I'm sure everyone has that as their goal, but I would also like not to end up with people being offended that they thought they were the CAB for so long and then end up being replaced without ceremony by a whole new group of people.
Maxie to the staff. Go on, Max.
Yeah, I respect deeply what you're saying, and I certainly don't want to dishonor the service that's been provided to this point. So I think the marrying both what Grace has put forward and what I'm putting forward more long-term, I think there's no reason that people who have been paying dues, if you will, putting in time and work towards the community advisory boards can't be part of the first class, if you will, of what would be various classes that would make up a board over a three-year process. So I think that can be managed. I just wanted to give you confidence that certainly can be honored.
Glad to hear that.
All right. Anybody else on this issue? All right. I'm going to put myself on the stack. I ran the community advisory board at WVAI for a number of years. And I can say this, I'm also somebody who experienced firsthand a inspector general from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And I want to share with you what that person said to me when I met with him twice. That was, if someone goes back and looks at the reports, that was the CPB report that essentially said we were out of compliance. And there were several things they emphasized. If you look at the CPB requirements, for getting money, there are a number of requirements, including open meetings requirements and the Community Advisory Board closed meeting reporting, CPB employment statistical report, open financial records and donor information. So a lot of different working parts. But with the open meetings issue, it became a question, I had not known this, that every quarter the station has to broadcast the open meetings requirements of the CPB, which we were not doing at the time, and I wrote a memo at the time to have that happen. I understand that Otis has a compliance operation in gear. The other thing the person mentioned was that he knew our bylaws, and he pointed out that we do not keep records of the announcements for the Community Advisory Board, and we do not follow our own bylaws. And the bylaws, if you recall, call for 5 days of three times a day announcements of any kind of governance meeting, but he pointed out that, well, you guys aren't doing that with the Community Advisory Board. He also pointed out that we should keep a log, like an FCC log, that states when we're actually doing an announcement of a Community Advisory Board meeting, and he pointed out we should keep the MP3s. Now, I understand that John Kriegler...
FYI, time.
Okay, I'm going to finish this. That Otis and John Kriegler have actually solved this problem, but that's what the CPB IG said to me a few years ago when we were actually meeting and trying to figure out how to get through these problems. So I think that that's also a very important thing, and I do agree with what James said, that I am totally opposed to sort of throwing off into the wind the people who basically did a lot of hard work for the past 6 or 7 years and who have continually met. And we just need to reinforce and strengthen the function of the CAB and have it live up to what it actually states it should do vis-a-vis the station.
Maxie to the staff.
Yes,
Nancy, 1 second. Who was that that was just speaking? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with your voice.
That's Jim Dingman.
Okay, thank you.
And Jim is chairing the call, Nancy, just so you know. Jim is chairing the call tonight.
Okay, yeah, I saw that in the email. Thank you.
Okay, actually, go on, hey, Jim, yeah, I'm gonna refrain. I'm not gonna comment. So I'll pass. I'm sorry for making notes.
All right. Anybody else want to talk about this issue?
Carol for the stack.
Yes, Carol.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. So the terms are 3-year terms. And for the people who have been on, good to check when they came on. You can go back to minutes and of your LSVs and see when they were appointed or maybe, you need to figure out how long they have, and then that will tell you when their term is up. Another issue about the postings, and this is a question for Maxie. It's my understanding that in the last CPB evaluation, an agreement was worked out, and I sent out the documentation of that agreement. But that what the stations would do is every 3 months, I believe it is, run a blanket open meetings announcement that says this station, like KPFA, has public meetings of the Community Advisory Board, Local Station Board, and other committees, and those are all the information about those meetings is posted at kpfa.org. So then they don't have to do all those other announcements. Now, I don't know if I think Otis sends out that reminder to the stations, but I don't know if the stations are in compliance with that, if they're actually running that cart that that Otis did. Does anybody know?
Maxie,
What I can tell you, I've had conversations with several general managers. We do a weekly conference call. This has been brought up, and I believe Otis was on one of those calls. I do know that Otis does distribute those announcements, as you mentioned. They are available quarterly. The question of whether there's an affidavit, if you will,
that says that these spots have been played, the appropriate number of time is the question. And I don't have a firm answer on that at this moment. So I apologize for not being able to answer the question. But everything you said is the process.
Yeah. Carol, for the stack?
Go on.
Yeah, so I wonder, I think the only people who would have that information is management at the stations. Would it be possible, Maxie, in one of your calls, to ask the station managers to give you documentation for that?
Yeah, I will.
If they're doing it?
I'll make note of that now. Absolutely.
Thank you. I guess it would then go to Otis.
To the stack. I know at WBAI we do that on a quarterly basis. I was watching Reggie Johnson, Reggie do that a few days ago. So I know that we do that, and Otis has a system to make sure the open meetings requirement problem is solved. So I don't know whether all the stations do it, but they all need to do it.
Right. I'll get confirmation though.
Thank you.
Anybody else to the stack? All right. I'll just finish with this. That the board shall be – this is the CAB requirements. So the issue that Mansoor raised about programming, we have to clarify this. A community advisory board shall be permitted to review the programming goals established by the station, the service provided by the station, and the significant policy decisions rendered by the station. So the community advisory board does have the ability and statutory – right to do that, to do those things that have to do with programming. It shall be only advisory in nature. That's also part of the statute. But a community advisory board can be a powerful instrument. And Maxie refers to a muscular community advisory board. I would argue that in New York we have had and did do a very muscular community advisory board here in New York. So it's a very important role to have, and you can do a lot of good things for the station.
Maxie, to the stack.
Yes, Maxie.
Yeah, I was actually, when I was going to speak earlier, I was going to address exactly what you said. I want to just reiterate that while the Community Advisory Board is purely advisory, it doesn't have any governance power, it is certainly capable of doing two things I think are vital. Number one, it can inform programming in a very rich and deep way. The more diverse and more representative the CAB is of the region, the community that you serve, the more likely their quarterly meetings can inform deeply station programming. That's number one. I think the second part is I think the evaluation is the least important of the proposition that the CAB brings to the table. What's even more important is the ability to provide opportunities for ascertainment of the community. And that can be indirect or direct, either giving names or providing access points for conversations with unique aspects of the community, whether it be LGBTQ, whether it be Spanish language. You go down a long list of communities that we want to have our programming impact in the regions and the communities that we serve. Those are the two functions I think are really at the heart of what the CAB should be about and can have real value. I just wanted to make a point of emphasis on that.
All right. Anybody else to stack on this? All right. I just want to add to what Maxie said. The CAB in New York, at one point when we were at 120 Wall Street, we had 10 theater groups doing rehearsals and organizing dramatical presentations at 120 Wall Street, and that was organized through the Community Advisory Board. What did it give WBAI? It gave us 30 to 40 free computers, which we could still exercise in the future and help distribute throughout the entire Pacifica system. Another thing it gave us was we organized events that we felt were not being served by the ongoing, you know, the problems we had in New York with all sorts of issues. So, for example, we organized a whole teach-in on Ferguson. and we let the listeners know about that. They came in, and we had about 150 people there at that point. But those are the kind of things we've done. We've also done actual physical work for the station, the cab. But the kind of things Max is talking about are very important because it increases the skill level coming in to help the stations, and the stations need people with all sorts of professional skills that they don't have because there's not enough money to pay for them. All right. Anyway, is there anybody else who want to talk about this before we move on to another issue? Okay. All right. We were finished with this. Everybody and everybody, if they will, I'll sort of communicate with email so that we can further solidify the connections that we're talking about regarding the cab. I've got lots of information. Carol's got lots of information. Grace got lots of information. And Maxie has lots of information that can help everybody get this whole thing working very well. Okay. All right. So the next issue that we want to talk about is the programming questions that come up here. And I was wondering if anybody out there from other signal areas wanted to raise any kind of issues that they'd like to see us talk about tonight about programming.
This is Donald for the stack.
Yes, Donald.
I have a basic question. Could you describe what the function and mission of this committee is so we have a framework in which we're operating?
Well, this committee is a arm of the Pacifica National Board, and we are we have defined our role in the past year as debating and discussing policy and policy initiatives that affect the entire network that go up to the PNB and then are either voted down or up. And so we came through this year with plenty of initiatives that were passed and have yet to go up there. So, for example, part of the list you see there is a number of resolutions that we argued about at great length in this committee. So, for example, we argued and passed and sent up to the national board a policy on broadcast disclaimer cards. We sent up and reinforced a present policy that already existed that was passed several years ago on evaluations of programming. We sent and passed up to the national board a resolution that every station should get Nielsen ratings. We passed and sent up a resolution that advocated that every station should begin developing video and audio streaming capabilities. We passed and sent up a resolution about annual radio arts conferences to be held in each signal area. There's a number of initiatives that we passed and sent up an initiative to have collaboration locally with journalism and broadcast schools to provide interns into each station. And we had lengthy debates about that. We had a debate about the about if you notice the Pacifica mission statement has a very important paragraph there about the commitment of the foundation to arts programming. And in my experience, that has always fallen by the wayside. So we passed a resolution that we sent up on arts and cultural programming and the need to have, increased networking with local folks who are involved with those kind of endeavors in each signal area. But the committees have their ability to set their own agenda as to what kind of issues they want to stress. But the key thing I think I could summarize, and Maxie is here and Grace is here, they can chime in after I'm finished, is we're concentrating on the fact that programming is the most important source of our revenue, and that's where we have to really get up to snuff and really figure out ways to come up with programming that has a mass engagement that can get us out of these financial problems we're always in. And others can chime in with their summaries about what they think. Grace and Maxie, of course, were participating in this all the time. Does that, Donald, does that answer you to some extent?
Well, let me respond then. That sounds like a pretty broad mandate. You were mixing in a lot of different things. from policy to specific issues. And I would argue that this programming committee of the PNB should have a laser-like focus on how do we improve programming across the network, number one, and at each individual station, so that the result is an increase in our listenership along the lines of what you alluded to of Lou Hill's original mission statement for the Pacifica Network. And furthermore, that we should examine programming in the current political framework, political and ecological framework that we are living in, both as a country and as part of the planet. And I'll have more to say about that later. But I'm really curious to hear what other people think this programming committee is for.
Sure, on the staff?
Sure, Sarah.
So I'm glad that Donald asked that question. My question would be, does the committee ever look over like ratings, or if not ratings, a basic numerical order of how programming is performing?
This is Max.
Yeah, go on, Max.
Yeah, part of the problem is that up until this year, not every one of the Pacifica stations has actually received or been signed up or paid in full to acquire their people meter Arbitron RRC data. I think it's a major problem. I've enforced that every station have ratings. Every station is paid up at this point. There's only one station that hasn't formally signed the agreement to get their data, but I believe that will happen right away. The other thing is that we're scheduled in, I believe, the end of this month to have a conference call with a representative from the Radio Research Consortium, the people who give us our numbers, so that we can have an analysis provided so that we make sure that the people who get these numbers at our stations, whether it be program directors or GMs, know what they're looking at and can find the tools useful. And then the third part to that is that I'm actually having additional conversations with the RRC to make sure that we're actually getting the best tool to understand the performance of our stations. What makes Pacifica stations a bit unique in terms of audience data is the patch quilt program scheduling that we subscribe to in mass. The reason why that's unique is that most stations in non-commercial media subscribe to more of a strict programming methodology, and it's easier with some of the basic audience measurement tools to understand performance, because you've got the same program airing Monday through Friday at a given time. When you do with the patch quilt programming that Pacifica stations do, you need a tool that allows you to isolate unique hours on unique days. And the basic subscription does not provide that. So there's some additional resources, but more importantly, some additional tools from RRC that are required for us to be able to do that kind of parsing out of data. Long story short, you know, there's professionals hired to be program directors at our stations who should be looking at this material on a regular basis. The fact that we weren't getting data and that no station currently has over 1 year's worth of data speaks to a glaring issue in terms of really competently being able to evaluate program directors, the programming decisions that have been made, and more importantly, the programs that are on our air. So I hope that answers your question.
Can I put myself back on the stack after?
Yes. Go on, sure.
I have a second question. So because there's no data, let's say, based on Nielsen ratings, has there been any sort of what I'm going to call more qualitative data based on feedback versus through emails and social media, sort of like text mining and keeping track of that?
You know, I would imagine that the stations do keep some kind of record of that. I know that Otis is able to provide some online measurements, but I don't believe that we have anything that's reliable in that sense, in terms of what you're speaking to, that's qualitative. We have anecdotal information, but I think one of the measurements you could perhaps utilize is just looking at the support that programs are receiving when they're on the air as one understanding of whether the audience appreciates what's on. And that's not an exact science, and I don't even recommend it as a reliable tool, but it certainly is one measurement that could be used to evaluate whether a program is succeeding or not.
Thank you.
Anybody want to jump in on that one? All right, I'd like to
start. Carol for the staff.
Nancy.
All right, who was that? Nancy and who else?
Carol.
Carol. All right, let me go before you, Carol. To answer your question, this is Jim Dingman. I've been looking at these statistics in Pacifica for 30 years. I've been looking at BAI in particular, but I've also been aware of PFW, KPFT, KPFK, and KPFA. In each of your stations, I'm positive there are Arbitron studies from the past that are buried somewhere, and it'd be important to look at that information because some of the information, while it's obsolete, the information is not that irrelevant because the low numbers of audience, the CUMs, the amount of people who tune in each week, has not changed that much in the past 25 to 30 years, which is one of the reasons why we have the financial problems. What Maxie pointed out that, you know, you when you're looking at the Nielsen ratings and BAI, I would say that if you're looking at the streaming data, how I would judge BAI was about a 10-to-1 ratio with the streaming data to the analog radio data, which turned out to be a rough approximation. You'd have to really look at the data that you have historically of these stations to sort of make sense of it. Although the Nielsen ratings are not the silver bullet, it certainly gives you a pretty good description. And once you get an hour-by-hour breakdown, and I know in the past the Pacifica stations have subscribed to that kind of information, it becomes pretty revelatory. You have to also look at the amount of money coming in per show. That is good and bad. I mean, sometimes if there's a very low audience, a couple hundred people or 500 people or 1,000 people or something in those low numbers, you're going to see low numbers of people coming in. My contention with the board, since it was constituted in 2000, it has been encumbered by a lot of people who don't know anything about broadcasting and don't know anything about the very issues you raise. And I think that's hurt us, and we have to change that now in order to recover and build further. All right, Carol.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell everyone, Shira, you could also go to stats, S-T-A-T-S, dot Pacifica, dot org, and there you can see reflection of how many people are clicking on the websites to have access. Now, that is different from knowing how many people are listening on the radio, but it is some information that can be considered. The Community Advisory Board at KPFA and other stations, you know, like our CAB has done a report, and the CABs are supposed to do a report talking about programming, and ours did it using a SurveyMonkey. But the problem was with that report that they only had like 100 people or maybe 200 at the most, and because they were at certain political events where a lot of those people who filled out the survey were, it created a certain bias to the report. And because people were mobilizing around the CAB report for their own interests regarding certain programs, then it also created a problem of just biased reporting.
Nancy?
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Maxie was saying about the and what somebody else raised about the data that we do have from the fund drive. We have two measures. We have how much money each program raised, but we also have, you know, how much
how many people called in to donate, and the two are, you know, they don't correspond linearly. So a lot of people will just donate what they can, and to one program. So a community that doesn't have the substantial amount of resources that listens to one program, they may another program may raise a lot of money but not have as many people donating. There's, you know, the amount of people listening and donating is not linearly related to the amount of money raised on those, on the programs and that data. That's all.
Anybody else want to chime in on this?
All right. Cliff from PFW.
Yes, Cliff.
I'd like to say that a few years ago, around 2000, there was a lot of problems with the leadership of PMB. And there was a meeting here at D.C., a national meeting, and there was a lot of emphasis at that time on Arbitron ratings and stuff like that. And I argued, I said, Pacifica Network has always been, in a sense, the future of America, whether it's civil rights or women's movement or anti-war and so on. And all of these, almost always at the time we are promoting these, they are minority opinions in the national community or world community even. And so we should always realize that we are not going to be able to get the Arbitron ratings of larger stations. And we have to keep in mind, I mean, would the abolitionists have gotten high Nielsen ratings? Would the labor movement have gotten it high, you know, et cetera, et cetera? Women's movement, suffragettes, et cetera, et cetera. Would any movement in their formation, in their beginnings, get high Arbitron ratings? And yet that's what we are as a network. And so I think that if we do go for Arbitron and so on, we should realize that and getting ratings, we should realize that we have to keep that mission statement in hand and to form the improved programming totally within the world of that mission statement and what our station has stood for since network has stood for since 1948.
Maxie to the stack. Yeah, Maxie.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't disagree with what was just said. I just want to highlight one aspect, and that is that we should never. Wow, I lost my train of thought that quick. Oh my God. I apologize. I just completely lost my train of thought. Oh, I think it had something to do. I'm sorry. I apologize. I lost my train of thought. I should have written it down. It was in relation to what was just said. Hopefully it'll come back to me later. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll wait for Max to get his train of thought. Anybody else on this issue? All right.
Sure.
I know what it was.
Okay, go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, I think I don't disagree that you know, sometimes it's not appropriate for us to compare ourselves to the rest of the markets per se. I think the real value in seeing the Radio Research Consortium PPM data is for us to be able to analyze the performance of our own work year over year. I think when program directors try to make decisions about programming adjustments, changes, and sometimes cancellations, we want them to be as far removed from subjective decision-making as possible. I think you really want them to be able to look at numbers and to be able to point out to a programmer, over the last year, you've lost audience by a certain percentage, or you've gained audience by a certain percentage. Sometimes it justifies cancellation. Sometimes it justifies expansion. Sometimes it gives you an impression on how you might want to reformat the schedule so that certain shows that may be more like-minded follow one another so that you can keep an audience hour by hour versus reinventing yourself every hour, which is what patchwork programming tends to do. So the reason why I am really emphasizing the data with our stations and our program directors in particular is so that they can self-evaluate versus necessarily comparing themselves to other stations. So I just wanted to point that out.
All right. Who was that? Who was next?
Oh, no, that's sort of along the lines of where I was going to state my opinion. So thanks.
All right. Anybody else want to comment on this?
Hi, this is Michael Nova, just getting on the call. I only just saw an email that was.
Right. I sent it out to you, Mike. All right. We're talking about
programming issues. Anyway, does anybody want to jump in on this before I open my mouth on this?
Generally, how long do these meetings last?
This will last till 11 o'clock.
So you guys started at 8:30, so an hour and a half?
We started about 9 o'clock, yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm West Coast, trying to do it. I thought I'd ask and get a better sense, because as we go later, I thought about the fact that I've been pretty lax with time, so I didn't know whether I should be more, like, on the ball right now. That was the only
Don't worry about that. No, we generally are pretty loose with that compared to the other committees. But does someone want to jump in on the programming issue? All right. I want to say this. I was involved with the fight against the national programming strategy back in 1991. This issue still hasn't left us because I don't disagree with others who argue about the strength of strip programming, because we know Democracy Now! Has been a very successful show, and other shows like that work. On the other hand, we have the question of the eclecticism of Pacifica stations. And my solution all the time to that was to figure out a way to explore more intelligently and creatively the digital technologies that we have in front of us, and streaming, podcasting, et cetera, et cetera. So the other issue is that the quality of content or the quality of the levels of skills of producers is something that I think has to be reinforced. I'm always impressed with what goes on in Berkeley with that whole apprenticeship program. And one of the things we've talked about a lot in the past 8 months, Maxie was part of this, Grace was part of this, Tom was part of this, is how do we increase and make it more, in each station, a really good learning environment for people, particularly younger people coming in, who can learn all sorts of different skills and at the same time be exposed to radio and sound art and all those kind of skill sets and the multimedia things that young people bring. Because I think that one thing that I see in New York has broken down for a long time is people having basic skills, period. And sometimes they get on the air and they think that just doing radio is just running their mouth in front of a mic. And there's a lot more to it than that. So I think that there's many, many factors that have to be changed at the local level, up to the national level, to boost us up into a situation where we can be not worrying about money all the time and, you know, this looming crisis with the loan and all that other stuff down the road that we have to deal with. All right, anybody else want to come on this? Okay. Anybody else in the stack on this? All right.
Yeah, this is Donald from the stack.
Go on, Donald.
Yeah, I like some of what you said, Jim. But I think that part of what we do need to figure out as a network and is how to have programming on each station that meets, if you will, a national standard of where we want to go as a network. I've now had a chance to look at every program grid of every station, and you used the term eclectic a few minutes ago, and I would say that's an understatement. But Maxie has articulated the idea of strip programming, which I have some leaning toward in terms of having an identifiable program like Democracy Now! On 5 days a week at the same time slot, so listeners know when they turn on the radio at that hour they're going to hear that show. And I can see across different stations you have a real eclecticism, if you will, of how each station does their programming and how they think about their listeners in terms of who's listening to the station at 6 a.m., who's listening from 7 to 9 a.m., which is drive time, which is one of our most critical time frames in radio, and are we happy with what's on the air at each of our stations during that most critical period? Because if people are listening to a show that is attractive to them acoustically, aesthetically, and politically, and spiritually, they're going to try to listen to other shows on the radio station as well. So I think a starting point for our National Program Committee is to really examine just looking at that time frame from 7 to 9 a.m. works across each station and across the network, and are those programs helping or hurting each station? Just as an example of how we start to talk about programming in Pacifica.
All right. Anybody else to stack on this? All right. I'd like to respond. The problem, here we get...
Is it you, Jim?
Yeah, go on. Anybody else want to jump in? All right.
Can people identify themselves when they speak?
Yeah, this is Jim Dingman talking. We constantly get into this reinventing of the wheel issue. One of the things that's essential to understand about Democracy Now!, because I was on the equivalent of a program council at WBAI when Democracy Now! Was created. That's a show that was created with $600,000 at that time in the early 90s, was equivalent to $1.1, $1.2 million. That amount of money was allocated to Julian Malveaux and Democracy Now!, and Democracy Now!, when it was first created, had Larry Bensky from KPFA as her partner. The amount of money now that Democracy Now! Generates annually in its budget is equal to Pacifica's. I think it's about $10 million. So the one problem is lack of resources. Secondly, the question of drive time is an important issue because structurally, we do not aim our programming at people who are driving cars. To be honest with you, if you look at the statistics of how many people listen at home, and now I'm talking about New York, but I'm also talking about my familiarity with the statistics at KPFA historically and KPFK and other stations in the network. It generally is people at home in drive time are listening to the radio on a Pacifica station. They are not in their cars. So that's a problem. What are we doing wrong in terms of organizing our morning shows that do not capture people driving to work in cars? And there's a lot to be said about that. But I think people have to listen critically to our competitors like Morning Edition or the BBC, and think about what we can do inexpensively, form-wise, that maybe is a way to sort of aim at an audience that's driving to work. We don't do that in New York enough, and I don't think we really do that at the other stations enough. Maybe in Berkeley they do, I don't know. But I think there's many problems that exist, and I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I can certainly send stuff to everybody on these issues that has been talked about in the past. One problem is we don't get survey data enough. We should be getting survey data all the time from our listeners as to what they like and what they don't like. It should be going out in premiums all the time. We should have survey monkeys up all the time. We should change it up all the time. We need to know what people want and what they like and don't like. And we don't do that enough. And we have to do our own audience research along with the kind of issues that have to do with getting more into the grassroots in the areas that we operate in. I just don't think we do that enough. We have too much of an ideological stance about that that makes it too rigid to understand what the everyday person is really feeling.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else to this issue?
This is Shira for the stack.
Go on, Shira.
I really appreciate all the comments everybody has been making. I guess I just want to understand a little bit more about how this committee will be more action-oriented and how we can make it more action-oriented.
Okay.